For scripture reading this morning, I invite you to turn to the book of Numbers. The story is coming from Numbers chapter 13 and 14. In your pew Bible, this is page 228. Numbers 13. And what's happening here in this section of scripture, God is getting ready to have the people of Israel leave and migrate into the promised land. And at the beginning part of chapter 13, it says they decided they're going to send some scouts out to explore the land. And it lists someone who they've sent from every tribe of Israel. So 12 tribes to go and explore the land of Canaan. We're going to pick up reading at verse 26, Numbers 13, verse 26. We'll read verse 26 to 32, and then Numbers 14, verses 6 to 11. Numbers 13, verse 26. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev. The Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack these people. They are stronger than we are." And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, "The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size." Chapter 14, verse 6. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, "The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them." But the whole assembly talked about stoning them. Then the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of meeting to all Israelites. The Lord said to Moses, "How long will these people treat me with contempt? How long will they refuse to believe in me in spite of all the signs I have performed among them?" Austin, welcome, Austin.
Thank you.
Let's pray. God, we thank you for this time to be in your presence among your people. We thank you for bringing Austin to us. We thank you for the message that you put in his heart. We thank you that we can be in your presence to hear these words for us. May we receive these words, and may you be near to Austin as he shares them with us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. I want to thank the worship team for worship. That was great. Really appreciated that. And also thank you, Brian, for the introduction and the welcome. It's really great to be welcomed here into the church community. And as I come in as youth pastor, it's been great getting to know some of you. And to aid with us getting to know each other, this morning in your mailboxes, I've written a brief bio about myself, a little bit of who I am. So you'll be able to learn a little bit more about who I am as we get to know each other. As Brian said this morning, we have been on a journey. We've been on a journey through God's story. We've seen the people that he used, the plan that he has for them, and we've dug into that over the past couple weeks. And so today we find ourselves in the sixth chapter of the story, and we find the Israelites in the wilderness. So they've come out of Egypt, and they're on their way to Canaan, and they have a little bit of ground to cover. So this morning we also have a little bit of ground to cover. So to kind of give you an idea of where we're headed, a little roadmap of where we're going, here it is, okay? So we're going to look at two stories this morning. We're going to look at the story of Joshua and Caleb from Numbers 13 and 14, and we're also going to look at the story of Phinehas from Numbers 25. Out of those two stories, we're going to be talking about those people that had zeal in those stories. So in the midst of the wilderness, the physical wilderness was also the wilderness of the people around them, some people that had zeal for the Lord. And we're going to be talking about those people and where zeal comes from. But before we get to where zeal comes from, what is zeal? It's a word that I don't think we use quite as much as we used to. So I looked up a definition of zeal. And it says, a strong feeling of interest and enthusiasm that makes someone very eager or determined to do something. To me, that definition was a little wordy. So it's pretty much, zeal is a strong desire to do something. So like, let's do it. So brief description of zeal is, let's do it. And you have to do it with the fist. It's like, let's do it. So let's dig into our first story and find out where zeal comes from. So if you would turn to Numbers 13 and 14, where Brian just read. And we're gonna start looking at that first passage you read at the end of chapter 13. So the spies had been sent out into Canaan to explore the land. Moses said, go, see if it's a good land. Look at the cities, look at the soil, look at the fruit, look at everything, come back and give a report. So they explored for 40 days, they come back, they give a report, and here's what it says in verse 27. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here's its fruit. But the people who live there are very powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev, the Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea along the Jordan. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. And then verse 31, yet, but men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. So they went, explored the land. They come back with this report, and they give the report, and then Caleb's like, let's do it. Yeah, he had that zeal. And in the midst of the rest of the people around him going, no, I don't think we can do it. Their people are a little strong. We're just going to get defeated. Caleb's like, he's pretty confident. He says, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. Like, there's no doubt at all. He's like, we got this, guys. Like, come on, let's go. So why was he so zealous? What gave him the attitude of let's do it? I don't think he was confident in his own strength. I don't think he was in front of the Israelite community saying, come on, guys. We got this. I'm pretty strong. We can go take him out, no problem. No, he is confident in the strength of the Lord. He knew who the Lord was. He had been in Egypt. He had seen the plagues. He had seen water turn to blood, frogs come out of nowhere, cattle, livestock, crops be destroyed. He had seen the Lord bring them out of Egypt. He had seen seas split. He had seen armies destroyed and defeated time and time again. He saw food come out of nowhere, water come from a rock. He had seen the leading of the Lord in a pillar of fire and a cloud. He had felt the ground tremble and shake and saw the lightning as thunder as the Lord descended upon Mount Sinai. And he saw these things and he experienced these things and he's like, I know who the Lord is. I've seen him. I've seen his power. And so he's in front of the Israelite community saying, I know who he is. Nothing can stop him. We can do this. And he's just passionate because he knows who God is. And so Caleb had zeal because he knew who the Lord was. Zeal comes from an understanding of who God is. And when we have that, when you have that understanding, we're going to be zealous for the Lord. On Monday night for the past month and a half, I've been meeting with a few friends. And we get together, just a few of us guys, and we share and we pray. And one of our prayers is, God, give us more faith. Because we know if our faith increases, then our prayers are going to increase. And it's like, what we're really saying is, God, show us who you are. Let us know who you are, like Caleb knew who you were, so that we can be zealous for you. And we ask for that increase of knowledge about who God is. So the first place zeal comes from is from a knowledge of who God is, from a knowledge of his character and his nature, his power and his holiness. So let's keep going in the story and see where else zeal comes from. So after Caleb's zealous display of confidence, things start going downhill. Others begin to spread fear among the people, and everybody starts complaining against Moses, and it's just a bad time. They're talking about stoning people, and that's never good. And so Joshua and Caleb are these two men who said, we can go take the land. And the whole Israelite community is against them. And so in Numbers 14, the beginning, Joshua and Caleb stand up, and they have something to say. And this is what they say, starting in verse 6. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes, and said to the entire Israelite assembly, the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into the land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. So when Joshua and Caleb get up to speak, they review the report about the land. They're saying, the land is good. It's great. It's perfect. It's what God promised us. And then they say something else, which is interesting. They list two things which we are not supposed to do. It says, do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people. And these two things go hand in hand. They go together. Because when we get caught up in fearing people, we are rebelling against the Lord. When we have this fear of people and are afraid of others, we're rebelling against the Lord. Joshua and Caleb are challenging the Israelites and saying, you need to be so caught up in pleasing the Lord and not get swayed by people's opinions. Be so intent on seeking the honor and glory of the Lord that you don't fear man. And they go hand in hand. So I have a friend who's like this. He's so caught up in seeking the honor and glory of the Lord that he doesn't fear man at all or fear people's opinions. So one time he was at the mall with some friends, and he felt the Lord was saying to him, go over by that vending machine and stand on your head. And so my friend Joel goes, well, if the Lord's saying it, guess I'm going to do it. And so he didn't care at all what people think. He's like, well, this is obviously going to bring glory to the Lord, so I'm going to go do it. And so he goes by the vending machine and stands on his head. And he has no idea why he's doing this. And a few moments later, a man from across the lobby area comes over to Joel. And he says, you know, I was sitting here thinking about life and thinking about God, thinking about my experiences. And I came to this place where, you know, God wasn't real to me anymore. And I said to God, I said, if you're real, have someone stand on their head by that vending machine. Because I knew that would definitely prove God's real. And you did it. And so God was able to use Joel because Joel was zealous for the Lord. Because he cared so much about giving honor and glory to God. So a second thing thing, or the second place zeal comes from, is a dedication to bring glory and honor to God. So when we know who God is, we're going to be zealous for him. And then when we have that dedication to be like, you know what, it's all for your glory, Lord. That's also going to make us zealous. So let's jump into the second story here, the story about Phinehas in Numbers 25, to look at these two points, kind of re-emphasize them. So this is the story of Phinehas in Numbers 25, and Phinehas is a priest. He's the grandson of Aaron, which is Moses' brother. And so as a priest, he knows who God is. As a priest, one of his duties, some of his job description is overseeing the sacrifices. So he is daily reminded of the sinfulness and uncleanliness of the people, and also of the holiness and complete purity of God. So he is aware of who God is. He has a deeper connection than most of the Israelites to God. And he sees God. He knows God. He understands that God is completely holy. No sin can be in front of him. And out of that understanding, Phinehas has zeal for the Lord. So I'm going to kind of paraphrase the first 12 verses here of chapter 25. So the Israelites were on their journey, and they come to a place, and they start sinning. Men start indulging in sexual immorality, and they also start worshiping Baal, the god of the Moabites. So not only are they turning away from God in sin, but they're also turning away from God and worshiping idols. And as a result of that, Moses goes to the leaders, and he says, each of you must put to death the people that have committed these sins, as well as a plague coming on the Israelite camp. So there's a plague, and people are being put to death. Like, people are just dying everywhere, and it's not good. And so, in the midst of this, Moses and some of the other leaders are before the tabernacle just weeping before the Lord. They're just, like, down on their faces just crying out, like, Lord, have mercy. They're just before the Lord crying out. And in the middle of them crying out, one of the Israelites walks into the camp. And he has one of the Moabite women with him, and I don't think he was just going to watch a movie. And so, in picture this. You have the leaders who are crying out before the Lord in the middle of this chaos, and sin walks in. And Phinehas the priest is among them, crying out before the Lord, and this is what he does. It says, when Phinehas, in verse 7, when Phinehas, son of Eleazar, son of Aaron, the priest, saw this, he left the assembly, took a spear in his hand, and followed the Israelite into a tent. He drove the spear into both of them, right through the Israelite man and into the woman's stomach. Then the plague ended again. Then the plague against the Israelites was stopped, but those who died in the plague numbered 24,000. So that sounds like a kind of zealous action. Just like taking a spear and following some people and being like, ah! It's like, yeah! That's zeal for the Lord. Because he knew the holiness of God. And when that sin walked in, he said, no, not in my camp. Not in a camp that's going to bring honor and glory to the Lord. And the Lord's response to Phinehas' actions, it says the Lord said that Phinehas was as zealous for his honor as he was among his people. Phinehas was as zealous for bringing glory to God as God is about bringing himself glory. And Phinehas is like, I care about bringing honor and glory to God. That's the only thing that I care about. And he knew the holiness of the Lord. So in our lives, do we know the holiness of the Lord? And when sin walks in, when a temptation comes in, do we take our spear and go, no, not in my camp. You know, I'm going to bring honor and glory to the Lord, and I know his holiness, and I know his power. And we just take that temptation, we just take that sin and throw a spear in it. Say, no. I desire to have a zeal like Phinehas and like Caleb. To be so connected with the Lord, to know him so much, to grow deeper in my understanding of him, that I have that passion for him. To be so concerned with the honor of the Lord that people's opinions don't sway me. That I get rid of my pride, I get rid of people's opinions of me. I say, my life is going to bring glory to the Lord. Everything I do is going to be for the Lord's glory. And I just desire to press into that more and more. And just know the Lord deeper. Because I know that through that knowledge, I will live out my passion for Him. And it's so key to know who God is, know His character and know His nature, that we can press into that and have zeal for Him. Last week, my cousin Tim bought his first vehicle. So he's in high school, he's been working hard, saving up money, and he went and bought a truck. And he really likes it. And when he bought it, the owner said to him, hey, I know we agreed on this price, but to help you out, why don't we say it was half of that price so it'll save you a little money on taxes? And Tim said, I really appreciate you trying to help me out, but I'm going to be a man of integrity here. I'm going to live my life to bring honor and glory to the Lord, and I'm not going to live it selfishly. And Tim had a moment of zeal where he's just consumed with bringing honor and glory to God, and that's all he cared about. After the service, after the benediction, we're going to kind of have a sending song, and it's called All Is For Your Glory. And it talks about the glory of the Lord and how everything that we do is for His glory, that His name may be honored, that He may have the first place, and that really what we do for ourselves will one day become nothing. But what we do for God will become everything. And just giving all of our glory to Him. So I pray that this week, as we go forth, that we would really just take a hold of that. That we dig into a deeper knowledge of who God is, and we also have a dedication to bring honor and glory to the Lord. Thank you.